This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. Coming to you from the LMG Studios, home of Yo Radio. Download it today on your mobile device. Just go to the App Store on your mobile device and download Yo Radio. It's everything you would expect from a streaming platform and so much more. Leave them a review. They'd greatly appreciate it. That's Yo Radio. Well, hey, in studio today, had a great show, had Kimby and Jamie in studio together, first time of the year on Monday, great back and forth, a lot of good feedback on the show. We are still in preseason mode, but, talked a little bit about the roster, talked a little bit about who might fit where, some of the young guys and where they're at to date, how hard it is this time of year to really tell. And again, my opinion on that will be pretty straightforward, and that is, quite frankly, that's a big reason for the nine games. I've always felt like, you've got the nine-game buffer where kids can play, and then you can make a decision without burning a year, whatever it is. I think that's a big part of it because, I've always wondered, like with the NFL, they play preseason games, but then a lot of the guys don't even play, and you want to see what other guys can do, but, what can they really do? You're not playing against the guys sometimes. Now, I think position has a lot to do with that, but with the speed of the NHL, the skill level, the intensity, how the game is played at that level, I think it's really hard. But, again, it's what you have to go by. And if I have to go by something right now, Sammy Blais played really well. Jordan Kyrou, we know that he's done really well offensively. How well they are doing in their own end, how well they're playing up and down the ice, physically, can they handle the rigors of an NHL scout? I'll leave that to the experts. And again, we'll hear from one of those experts again today. Obviously, we're going to talk about Robbie Fabbri. Not the knee, but, where do we go from here? Tough break. You feel bad for him, but, it's a – he's falling into a numbers game, kind of as the guys talked about Monday. I don't know that there's a question of skill level, but, we're going to get to a point where, roster decisions have to be made, and there's tough ones coming, and we shall see. Had a great conversation with some guys on Facebook, and it was a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to continuing those this week. Got a great show for you guys today. Should have Coach Henson in studio here any minute. I know he's running behind, I believe, with some traffic issues. But I do have a treat for you guys. Obviously, we'll be calling Jamie Rivers here shortly. But in studio, another great podcast you guys can hear through lineupmedia.fm. A little bit different style. Always going to get some great opinions, unbiased opinions, unbiased thoughts. But what I think is cool is, and when I met him and kind of learned what he did, the passion to break down every game and give you a recap, I think, is what a lot of people are always interested in. So you know it as the Drop Podcast, and you know him as Lance Dascott. Let's welcome him in. What's going on, Lance?
It's just great to be here talking about Blues hockey. And like you said, the preseason, it's tough to judge what players are, what they're going to be. But, I enjoy being here talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. Talked a little bit last week on the Cardinal show about the crossover to the Blues, and there's a ton of crossover fandom, which is great. I mean, the Blues and the Cardinals do a great job trying to work together to promote their sport in each other's backyard. You know, the Blues sometimes the hype of the preseason or the hype of the preseason along with the start of the season has many times been kind of crossed over with a Red October here in St. Louis. Thought we might have that issue again, but there's a lot of Cardinal fans out there saying, thank God it's Blue season after the last three nights at Busch. But, you know, again, I don't know about you, but there's something about the first time you walk in a rink in the season. I mean, I know there's a lot of you out there, especially if your kids are playing year-round. But, you know, when I played hockey, you know, that was just kind of starting. I didn't do it. But I'll never forget, you know, the first time I walked in the rink for the year, like after ball was over, and the smell of the rink itself, the familiar smell of the inside of the rink, and then never, ever, ever forget the smell of stepping on the ice. It's got a smell. Each rink is a little bit different, but there's a crisp smell to the ice that you feel. And, you know, for me, and I don't know about you, Lance, and I don't know how many games a year you get to or what, but there's a feel the first time I walk in, which is now the Enterprise Center. There's a feel. And then there's a noticeable feel when you walk through the tunnel and you come out into the arena. There's a smell. There's a feel. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but I love it. I don't know about yourself, Lance.
No, I thoroughly enjoy it. And I remember the first time I ever put on goalie pads when I was 7 years old. I remember that day. I remember each year, the first time each year I would do it. And as you said, each arena has its own smell. It's a very similar smell, but it's a little bit different. And walking.
Well, the newer ones.
Yeah, the older ones.
You got to remember, I played hockey in Granite. We had the outdoor rink.
The outdoor
rink. Around before I was
too.
Ever here.
Yeah.
I mean, it.
Yeah, it had its own smell there in Granite City. Yes,
but let me tell you something. There's no better ice in the area than in January and February in
that's
Grand
exactly
City.
Right.
That ice is
it's pristine in January and February.
It's hard, you know, it's fast. I you know, our biggest thing was, you know, I didn't start playing hockey till later, and I had some very good friends that were very good players, and they were lifelong Granite City guys. They introduced me when I got a little older to a tradition, and that was in the old Granite City ice rink, there was a Pepsi sign, and it stayed lit the whole time, and it was down on one end, and you know, late at night. Especially during the week, they would lay the ice. At the beginning of the year, there was nothing going on there. Well, I mean, if you were around it, you kind of knew when they laid the ice.
Sure you did.
And that was a tradition of theirs. They would hop the fence and go out there and skate and just shoot pucks by the light of the Pepsi sign. And, you know, you couldn't see that well, but it was a tradition. I got to do it a couple times with these guys and, you know, when I was in high school. And, you know, people knew they did it. But nobody ever showed up and did anything because those, you know, you can't hide it. You show up the next day, the skate marks are there. You know, you can't hide it. So, anyway, it's that time for me, and I'm ready to go. And we're going to go to Jamie here in just a second. Before we do, let's go ahead and remind you to check us out, STLBluesPodcast.com. You know, guys, let me tell you, I'm enjoying this. What I like most, StLouisBluesPodcast.com. Is your ability to listen to the show whenever you want. That's what's great about podcasting. If you do your Amazon shopping there, it helps out my producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, behind the scenes, all the work they do. Again, that's where you can learn more about us. Social media, at STL Blues Podcast. Twitter, you follow us. We're going to follow you back if you're a Blues fan. We're interested in what you have to say. Same thing with Facebook. Guys, that's our ask of you this year. Type in STL Blues Podcast, okay? That's our ask. Please follow us on Facebook. We're going to give away some prizes this year, Blues NHL Podcast, on Facebook as well. Type it in. Like our Facebook page. Share the post Mondays, Thursday nights. Share the pinned post. That's our show. We're going to be giving away prizes throughout the year to people that do so, and we're looking forward to having you involved in it. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. And, of course, I mentioned to you earlier, you know, lineupmedia.fm, thank you for hosting us. And, of course, download Yo Radio today, the great app on your mobile device. Leave them a review. They would greatly appreciate it. All right, it's that time. The familiar walk-in music, as we always have, provided by our great Brian Kroc, tells you that it's time for the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, boys, how we doing?
You might be the only guy in podcast history to have walk-in music, like you're at a ball game. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting. Well,
was he able to pick his own song, or did we?
No,
pick
we
it
gave
for
it to him.
No, that's not fair.
No, of course they didn't consult me with it. So I don't. You know, who knows what they pick every week? You know.
No, but we did. We are getting added this year. Your highlight to the intro. I was able to finally get that clip iced down so that we can get that done. And Brian Kroc is working on your big scrap to get in there with Mr. Kimball for the opening. So, yeah, it's Katie bar the door now, my man. Katie,
there we go.
Bar
We're
the
moving
door
on
now.
Up like the Jeffersons.
Yeah, moving on up like the Jeffersons. In studio with us, and I had mentioned to you last night he was going to be joining us from the Drop podcast, and I know you know him, Lance Dascott. Just want to make sure you know he was in studio.
Yeah, welcome in, Lance.
Hey,
thanks,
Jamie,
for going by.
Hey, it's nice to see you again. Hope everything's going well for you.
Well, you're hearing him. You're not seeing him, Lance. Let's
right.
be honest.
Well,
I'm just
it
kidding.
Would be quite an experience if you were seeing me right now.
Yeah, I would say that's really interesting. Yeah.
This is a great studio with a lot of technology.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do it. Hey, I've offered it to him. I think Jamie doesn't want to be seen, is what I think it is at this time.
Probably not.
I'm like the Wizard of Oz. I just want to be the man behind the curtain.
Well, hang on a second. The one thing everybody knows that's ever met you is you do not want to be the man behind the curtain. You are full. You're full stage, full frontal. That's you. That's Jamie Rivers. So, all right.
Full frontal.
All right. Let's get down to some hockey talk. I know Lance is excited and probably has a few things for you as well. You know, it's preseason, Jamie, and I brought up, as the season approaches, that, you know, obviously nobody in this room's hockey experience can compare to yours, but my little hockey experience growing up, there was something about walking in the rink the first time of the year, the smell of the ice. I had told earlier in the show, there was a little tradition in Granite City where you jumped the fence. It was an outdoor rink. You played by the Pepsi sign the first night they laid the ice, stuff like that. But you obviously had quite a career in the NHL. Now, you did a lot of things off-season. You know, you guys didn't just, see you in a few months, you know. But for you guys, that first day when you come in, that first day when it gets real and it's preseason, what's that like for you? For us, it was the smell of the ice. It was just the feel of the rink. What about you guys?
Yeah, well, you know, going into camp was one thing that you – I don't want to say you grow numb to, because every year there's, you know, some expectations or something that is new every year. And, you know, so you deal with that. But then as the regular season gets closer, something about the way the practices are run, which I know it's by design, but the meetings become more intense, the practices become more intense, the bodies become fewer in the locker room, and you just know that, you know, the clock is counting down and it's going to be go time here before you know it. And you're really trying to, you know, ramp up your game and ramp up your intensity so that that home opener or first game of the season, even if it's on the road, like, you want to come out and have a good start to the season. It's always, you know, imperative for a player to go out there and get that first game under their belt. And hopefully it's a good one. That's what you want. It doesn't have to be miraculous, but you certainly don't want to start on the wrong foot. So the preparation leading into that first game is always more intense than any other time.
Sure. And you know, Jamie, I would imagine that from your first training camp as a rookie up until, you know, 3 or 4 years later, it must get a little more comfortable each year and things are a little bit different. And I'm sure that you kind of approach it a little bit different as opposed to when you first came into the league.
Well, yeah, you do. There's certain things that become more comfortable as far as just the whole process itself and arriving and doing your testing. And, you know, all that stuff becomes very routine. But the one thing that becomes more nerve-wracking is, like, life keeps going, right? And every sure. year they have a draft that's full of prospects that want to come to the team, make the team. And every year there, in my case, there were young defensemen that, you know, wanted to take my job or somebody else's job. And so along with the comfort comes anxiety. You know, I was never one of those players that was guaranteed a spot every year. So every year when we came to camp, it was go time. Like, I had to make sure that I'm on my game, that I'm bringing everything to the table, that I'm in great shape, that I'm paying attention to detail, that I'm executing properly. All those things, because there's always somebody knocking at the door waiting to get in.
Well, I would imagine you had to be somewhat comfortable because from what you and I talked before, Al McGinnis was the one that always had you go back and get the puck because he didn't want to skate all the way back there and get the puck. So I'm sure he put a good word in for you, say, hey, we can't cut that, Rivers. I can't be skating back there getting the puck all the time.
Yeah, but he may have wanted to go to somebody younger and faster. So I got to make sure that I'm able to do at least that job.
You know, Jamie, in studio now with us, and you can give him some ribbing if you want, is Coach Henson. Late.
Oh, right on time, eh, Hens?
Hey, come on, man. Time. I was told we weren't calling you till 10:30, and it's Cromer, so I figured we'd start
show
about
at
quarter
10.
After 11.
Show at 10. Now, listen, what if one of your players did this? I don't know, Coach Ed said that we usually don't start drills till 10:15.
Yeah, you know what I'd do? I'd show them the freaking text you sent me that says 10:15.
No, it says 10.
Whatever.
You want to show? You want to read on here?
Lombardi time, Hens.
Hey, let's get you caught up, Hens. We're talking a little bit about first days at the rink. Jamie, when you were younger, obviously, you're from the north. And again, we're showing our age a little bit here, but as the game has changed, it's become a year-round sport, just like most sports for our kids, even in North America. Has it always been a year-round sport in Canada?
No, not really. There were always a few hockey camps that came through town in the summer, but, you know, it usually once the season ended, you kind of, I don't say you packed your gear away. It just sort of got put to the side, and, you know, we took advantage of the good weather, and we were up in the country, so getting out into, you know, good old Mother Nature and getting on the lake and fishing and doing all that kind of stuff became not important, but I guess it was. It was important to get out there and do that stuff and to get away from things. And so, yeah, it really wasn't year-round. We treated it, quite honestly, we treated it a lot like it was when I first started in the NHL, which was, you know, about mid-July, you start to think about it again and start to get out there lightly, and in August a little bit more, and then you're ready to go come the end of August, early September. So it wasn't at that time. It was not year-round.
Well, I hate to guess what a young Jamie Rivers did with his free time as a young man, but
no, I did a lot of stuff on.
Hey, by the way, Coach Henson
did a lot of stuff outside.
Yeah,
well, he was always outside doing something.
Well, let's hope so. By the way, Coach Henson trying to get me in trouble in here just showed somebody a text from last week. But other than that, that's okay. see what's going on in here when I don't have you here to defend me? Take care of my life.
You're letting the whack pack ruin you over here right now.
So, all right, so let's get into a little bit the preseason here in town. Quite frankly, we talked, we knew that there was something had happened with Fabry. We knew, you know, what we get is a grade one groin strain. not ready to that's what came out, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
What they've described it as.
Well, Gary gave me a look, and it was either I was wrong or ouch, so I'm going to go with it was ouch.
It was ouch.
Okay. Everybody's a doctor on social media, but of course, this is a byproduct of his knee injury. Is it? I don't know. I mean, is this?
Well, we're assuming it is, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. Now, time will tell. Hopefully, that it doesn't get worse. But yeah, everything does get affected in your body when you know you have an injury like that. Not so much the injury, but just the time off. And, you know, he's been rehabbing that knee like crazy. So, you know, I think we discussed this a little bit on Monday. The knee is probably good and strong. It's just all the other muscles and things in his body that haven't had full contact or resistance or any game situation. So they're probably reacting a little bit negatively to this, you know, shock to the system.
Well, you know, Jamie, you know, we've all been injured playing hockey, and when you get injured, a lot of times you tend to want to skate a little bit different. You don't put as much weight in a certain area. You don't put as much weight on your knee. And you know, there are so many muscles and tendons that come from your groin area down to your knee that if you're not skating properly, if your knee's not used to having that pounding on it as it used to be before the injury, it's only natural that you're going to have issues with something.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's kind of it, right? It's these little muscles that are, one, that haven't been used. When I talk about resistance, meaning any kind of physical resistance, not necessarily being hit, but just guys in your way, and then also the compensation. So if the knee, for some reason, is not as strong, well, other muscles will, you know, kick in to compensate for that, and then once maybe one leg gets a little tired, then the other one kicks in to compensate for that one. I mean, it's amazing, you know, how the human body just automatically does it, but at the same time, it leaves you exposed to a lot of these little injuries that could happen to you.
You know, we talked a lot about Sammy Blay, talked a lot about the young guys and the impact that they'll make on this team this year. There are injuries. Unfortunately, as you and Kimby talked about at this time of year, as it starts to become a numbers game, and it's kind of a bad situation for guys when they're fighting for roster spots. But, you know, we had kind of asked the question Monday, obviously, will Sammy Blay make this roster out of training camp? Well, you know, an injury like this certainly enhances his chances, unfortunately, for Robbie Fabbri. Great for Sammy Blay. We've also talked about some of the younger guys. You talked about it. I mean, you know, training camp being a time to come in and not only get ready, but a proving ground for some guys as much as it can be. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that while it is preseason, and as you guys have talked about, you know, you don't see the games very much, so it's hard to make an assessment. But coaches are assessing players every day. Now, the issue is, you know, there's guys in and out of the lineup, guys on the other teams that you're playing. They're working on things in their own game. They're not at the top speed. I had kind of said this is where the 9-game buffer in the NHL becomes important. Would you expect the Blues to fully use those 9 games to assess a few of these young guys and see how they do in actual NHL games?
Well, I think these young guys are actually exempt from that 9-game rule. I believe that rule only applies to kids who are not allowed to go down to the American League. They have to they use a 9-game buffer so that they can send that kid back to junior hockey. So I believe all these young guys that we're discussing fall into a different category to where, you know, it could be 10, 11, 12, 13 games before they have to make a final decision on these guys. And if Robbie Fabbri takes, you know, that long to get better or get himself back in the lineup, then, you know, they'll use those games in order to really fully assess what they have here on their roster and see which young guy is going to be able to stay.
Well, the guy I was really kind of talking about was Robbie Thomas because...
Yeah, I don't think he's got junior eligibility left unless he went back as an overage.
A listener had kind of sent in that they thought with his age and the fact that he came from... Where was he at last year?
He ended up in Hamilton.
Yeah,
in the NHL.
Somebody said because of his age, if he goes down, he has to go there. Now, I said that sounded.
He was drafted 2 years ago, correct?
Yeah.
It wasn't this summer that he was drafted, so it was the summer before. So therefore, he had 2 full junior years to play after he's been drafted, which would make him ineligible to go back without being an overage player.
Okay. Well, because,
which would put him in the American Hockey League.
Okay. Like I said, we had a listener and wasn't being a smart ass. The guy was like, doesn't he, you know, and they sent an article that was in something showing that there's a crazy little funky thing about that this has happened to other guy. Ron Hextall was actually dealing with it. Your old buddy Ron Hextall, who I know you love, was dealing with it with one of his players and was like, they were not happy about it, I guess, because they wanted to send this kid down to their farm team, and they were like, no, he's not 20 yet. He's got to go to the AHL, which I think this guy was pointing out that Robbie Thomas isn't 20 yet, is he?
Well, if he's turning 20, though, that can make the difference.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say that that he's eligible to play in the American Hockey League.
And is do I mean would
I'm saying your listeners wrong, Jim. Yes, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Sounds good. All the guys. Well, he's not just my list. Listen, wait a minute.
He's your list.
I was going to say, let's be realistic. Nobody's listening to me. They're listening to you. He's your listener. So let's be honest.
All right. Well, as of right now, they're sitting there going, "Okay, guys, get over it. Move on."
All right. So, question then is that you guys had mentioned the and again we I think for us it's the big three, right? Well, although we kind of. For some reason, we're never talking about Costin right now.
Well, he's gone already, for one thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, remember that name. Remember the big to-do over that name, right? So,
I didn't expect him to come in and challenge. Not with those three available.
So, the big three being Blay, Thomas, Kyrou, you talked about it not being the end of the world if they went down to the AHL together and said, look, you're going to be the top line, you're going to be the top power play guy, you're going to play for. Do all this kind of stuff. So, to your knowledge, all three of those guys can go to the AHL.
Yes, once again, Jim, to my knowledge, all three of those guys can go down to the AHL.
I like to hear you say knowledge when you. That's great in one sentence. Okay, so Jake Allen back on the ice. Again, I know people are going to look into his play right now. We talked how serious of a campaign this is for him. First off, I mean, I would assume you'd have to say good sign that he's back on the ice and actually playing in games. And now we're pointing towards he's saying that the next time he's going to play the full game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great. We were anticipating that, you know, that it wouldn't be a major injury and that he would be able to get back sooner than later. And it appears to be that way. And based on, you know, him the other night, I thought he looked rather comfortable in the net. It's going to take some time for a goalie. You know, there's angles, there's recovery, there's limiting movement. There's all sorts of things that you're focused on before the regular season starts. So this is great for the Blues to have him back sooner than later, just for the fact that even if he doesn't play every single game, that at least he's getting these game reps or practice reps where he's getting his legs back under him.
Yeah, and a lot of people, Jamie, don't understand from being a goaltender that, you know, if you're out and you've got an injury and you come back and you're still, let's say you're only 85-90%, when you go to take those angles, when you slide across the crease, your body, you're going to do it a little bit differently because you feel that twinge or you may still be in a little bit of pain. And it's going to take him some time, and there are a lot of Blues fans out there that are really hard on Jake Allen, even in the preseason. But they've got to understand when you're an injured goalie, it takes you a little bit of time to get back at peak performance.
Well, yeah, you know, the goalies go through a similar process that the players go through, and that's the fact that if he's compensating at all, then it's going to leave him exposed in other areas. And as a goalie, they're really in need of full range of motion. Certainly their lower body, but if it's a back situation like with Jake Allen, then, I mean, those muscles are used all the time, up and down, across, and especially the way Jake plays at times where, you know, he will resort to athletic ability. You're limiting your own abilities if you're injured. So I think the Blues are going to be very careful with this injury. I think they're going to rely on the training staff and doctors and certainly how Jake feels with it all. They're going to want to make sure he's 100%. They've got two good goalies in Chad Johnson and Ville Husso that, once again, it's a luxury for them, much like having the three young guys up front, that they don't have to, you know, rush Jake Allen back or force him into the lineup. I think that those two younger Ville Husso, the young goalie, and Chad Johnson, the grizzled vet, I think they can carry a load for a handful of games if need be. But that's even getting ahead of ourselves here. I mean, Jake Allen, as far as I'm concerned, I believe he'll be there on opening night.
You know, preseason hockey, things over the years have changed, just like with all things with sports. And, you know, you've talked about just, you know, going from when you were younger in Canada to your time in the NHL, you think about it to now. Guys are showing up prepared. They skate year round. They do this, they do that. But it's still the NHL. I guess in your expert opinion, and we love to call you the expert. We show up for
loves to be called the expert.
Yes, I know he does. We show up for opening night as Blues fans, and we're all excited. And I think we kind of forget that there are preseason games. They do serve their purpose. How many games does it take to get into a season for an NHL player before they're really up to top speed and ready to go before that comfort level's there? Is it one? Is it two? Is it a couple weeks? Or is it the way it is now? They're ready to go opening night, and you're going to see top form.
Well, they'll be ready to go opening night the way it is now. I mean, even in discussions with current players on the way this is set up, training camp itself is too long. It used to be okay when guys needed to get in shape or fine-tune themselves a little bit or get some game-level practices or things like that. But the way they, like you said, the way they train, the way they skate, the way they prepare for training camp, let alone the regular season now, these guys are ready to go. I mean, realistically, the NHL could shorten all of that, put in like 4 preseason games. Maybe, if they want to really push it, they could go to 2 rookie games to where there would be no veterans in the lineup, let these young guys go out there and show what they've got and earn a spot maybe in the next 4 games, which would be including veterans. And then if you had veteran guys that you rely upon heavily, maybe those guys play 2 games and then you roll into regular season. I just think that guys are taxed so hard physically now during the off season that you're really risking more to these players by extending training camp and demanding more of them before the grind of the regular season starts. So in my opinion, NHL could shorten training camp because these guys are ready to go.
Well, interesting then, because there's an argument in the NFL that they have that the players say it's too long for them. The NFL owners, if you know anything about it, they make you buy preseason tickets as part of your package. So that's why they do it, right? And then they televise, they do all this kind of stuff. That's not like a huge market for hockey preseason games.
Preseason is kind of a joke, really, when you look at it. I'm not being negative. I'm just looking at some of the buildings. If we bring up, even in St. Louis, we get a good crowd there. What is it, 7,000-8,000 people in the building? Carolina, they had, 400 people in the building. Florida had, 700 people in the building. I just don't see the financial gain on that. And to me, it would probably be a wash, maybe a loss, when you take the expense of running the building and paying the employees and everything that goes with it. I would rather see the NHL take their preseason games to either close markets to their actual playing city or to their minor league market, where they can promote the team and promote the game in those areas. And those buildings are usually 4,000 or 5,000 people, and you sell it out and you create a great atmosphere and a buzz for your minor league team, and kind of build your product that way.
Yeah, and Jamie, I've always had the idea, Blue season ticket holder for about 15 years until it just got too expensive. Why not take these preseason games, whether it's 4, 5, 6, whatever they finally decide on, lower the ticket prices, either make it a first come, first serve, or just really cut the ticket prices in half and a quarter, sell people the concessions it cost, get people in there. You can build maybe more of a fan base, make it more exciting. And instead of seeing 7,000-8,000 people in a preseason game, you may see 13,000-14,000 people in there, because now they can take their kids in there for $15. They can buy a hot dog for 2. They can buy a beer for 4 or 5, a soda for 3. I think that would be another good idea for the NHL owners to look at also.
Yeah, I think obviously, I think it's a great idea. I've often thought about the buy one, get one free in preseason.
Sure.
It's just to get people in the building to get that buzz started again, especially regular season right around the corner. And if we just use the Blues as an example, this is there's a buzz around this team right now. And what better way to continue that and to grow it than to get as many people in the building as you can to see these guys and to see the future players and to, you know, get their eyeballs on the product. So, yeah, I mean, I think those are great ideas. I think you'll see some tweaking to this over the next couple of years. I can't imagine the owners are thrilled with looking out there and seeing the building a quarter full and the atmosphere to be somewhat dull. You know, certainly some of the markets are losing money by playing these preseason games. So if you're not making money or breaking even, it doesn't make much sense.
Last question, Jamie, and then we'll let you get out of here. We're going to kind of go around the table, but we'll start with you, and then we'll let you get back to your one of other probably 30 duties you have today. So we'll start with you first. Really, expectations for this year. Just, you know, nothing hard-clad. We aren't putting up any money in Vegas today, but
bullshit, we're holding him to it.
We're not.
Right, we're holding him to
it. I thought we were going to.
All right, well, just expectations for this year from Jamie Rivers for the St. Louis Blues. Expectations. I mean, I think they're high. I mean, I don't think we can look at this and go, yeah, you know, Jamie's expectations.
Expectations, I think, goes without saying that the expectations are to make the playoffs. You know, unfortunately, the Blues have always been in a tough division, and the Central Division hasn't gotten any easier. And now the Western Conference has gotten that much harder with the likes of the San Jose's of the world, and obviously Winnipeg in the Central Division, Nashville Central Division, Minnesota. I mean, these teams are difficult. So I'm not going to set the expectations too high. I do expect them to make the playoffs. But that being said, I do believe that once in the playoffs, this is a team that could go to the Stanley Cup Final. I really believe it. I mean, they're not far off from the teams that we're talking about that are major competitors. In fact, in some areas, they're deeper and better. So as we see it, you saw last year in the playoffs, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights went the distance. The Winnipeg Jets had a great team and went quite a ways. You know, I just think that injuries, timing, all those things come into play when the playoffs come around, but the Blues have just as good a team as any of those other guys that I mentioned. So my expectations are make the playoffs and then go from there.
All right. Well, you heard it right here, guys. The expectations are high from Mr. Rivers. Jamie, as always, you call in, brought to us by the wonderful program that you use to help out all the young players, whether, you know, all over the place, much less the St. Louis market. But tell our listeners a little bit about what you have planned for Synergy Hockey this year.
Synergy Hockey, during the season we do small group sessions. It's available 4 days a week. Unfortunately, Sundays are currently sold out, but we do have availability at our mornings at Afton, mornings at Brentwood, and also for the power skating at Brentwood. So get on to synergyhockeyskills.com, take a look around, poke around, take a look at some of the videos, some of the programming, and hopefully we see you at the rink soon.
Holy cow, it's like a world tour, sold out. Sundays are sold out.
The T-shirt's made, sold out.
Standing room only.
Yeah, sold out. Well, great stuff, man. We appreciate your call in, and I look forward to seeing you in studio next week with Mr. Kimball.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy, Jamie.
That's Jamie Rivers. Again, you heard his expectations here. We're gonna go around the table here and get my panel of experts' expectations.
Somebody new show up?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple experts here. Take a second, though, just to thank a few people here. NelsonLandServices.com, been with us now for a couple of years. What a wonderful hockey family. Had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to speak to one of Gary's players, again, that attends McHenry and plays hockey for Gary. Wonderful kid, works hard. You know, that's no easy summer job when you go home and work for your family's company like that and do some of the amazing work that they do. NelsonLandServices.com, you can see some of the beautiful stuff they've done, especially down at the Ozarks. A lot of people listen to the show, head down there and see some of the beautiful homes with the beautiful landscaping. Chances are that's Nelson Land Services work. Also available in the St. Louis area. Just check them out today. Again, NelsonLandServices.com. I look at this thing, and I got to tell you guys, I hear what Jamie's saying. I always feel like, is this going to be the year? I mean, we're
Blues fans. So.
Well, we joke around about the parade down Market, right? I mean,
sure.
But the truth of the matter is, I mean, boy, when? You know, it's
been a long time.
You know, with certain things in life, you always say, well, it's not if, it's when, right? And boy, this one's almost like it's not when, it's if. But listen, I'm as excited as anybody. I love these moves. I mean, I just being frank, every year I look, Gary knows. I mean, we text all the time. This has been going on for years. Certain players get in your ass a little bit, and you can't stand them. And
they're not here anymore.
And, well,
yeah, they're not here anymore, are they?
Well, one of them. There's two of them for me. There's two that are still here? There's two that are still here, yeah.
Holy cow.
But I don't think they're as central figures anymore. So,
all right. I know who you're talking about.
So, I think I know who he's talking about.
Well, the bottom line is this, though. There's still one culprit here for me. One real culprit. And he'll figure in the game plan, and you know, and he'll keep dividing, keep pouting, but whatever.
What are you saying?
Things don't go well. He'll get another guy fired. That being said, I'll go first here. They got to make the playoffs. I mean, they have to.
That's not.
And let me tell you,
they got to make the playoffs. Listen, that's not an expectation.
Well, my expectation is not only do
what
they.
What is your expectation?
My expectations are that they win their division. Because here's the deal: seventh or eighth place isn't going to get it.
No, it's not.
It's not going to get it.
No.
Not going to get it.
And it shouldn't get it.
Okay. Yeah, right. Bullshit. Yeah. Okay.
In my mind, they've got to be in the top two or three in the Western Conference.
Home playoff series, top of the Western Conference. I'm not going to say they have to win the conference. I mean,
is this like, first of all, let's clear this up. Is this a wish list expectation?
No bullshit.
Or legit expectation?
No, it's legit. They got to win the division.
Yeah.
That's your expectation that you think they'll win the
division? No, I'm telling you.
I expect them
to win the division. Yeah. That's my expectation.
All right.
Okay, Lance, you want
to? Yeah, I'm expecting them to win the division also, and the reason is, I think with adding Bozak and O'Reilly, they now have a better center lineup than Vegas. They have a better center lineup than Winnipeg, and I think they're better than Nashville down the middle. I really do. If they play up to their abilities, that's the big if. If you say the Blues don't have a top one or two, you know, three, four centers in the league, something's wrong with you. Because they've got great centers.
Yeah, they do have great centers, and the team is better. I don't expect them to be ahead of all three of those teams you just mentioned.
No, I like I said, my expectations are them to be one, but most likely.
What are the three teams? So you don't expect them to be ahead of Vegas?
The expectation is one of the three of them is going to be finish higher than the Blues.
Well, are you
talking about Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville.
Winnipeg.
I was going to say Vegas isn't.
Winnipeg is just.
Vegas isn't in our division. Number one.
No,
okay.
But we're talking conference. You guys said.
Needed to be at the top of the conference. I'm not first in the conference. But, but they'll be in that conversation because they need to win the division. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, they better be ahead. Yeah, listen. I think they have brought up their roster to Nashville's level. No?
Well, Jim, in my mind, they were so inconsistent last year, and they had, 94 points? They had one of the worst power plays in league history at what?
I agree. It cannot be worse.
It can't be worse.
It could be as bad. It cannot be worse.
It can't be any worse. Now, Mike Yeo, his teams have been known to have some terrible power plays. Whether he can improve that is yet to be seen. But they've added more offense with O'Reilly. They've added two guys that are great when it comes to faceoffs, two of the best in the league, and that's only going
to
help them.
I will tell you right now, the number one thing they've added to the power play is the big rig.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Bullshit.
Listen to me.
They didn't have one guy on that team last year who wanted to stand in front of that net.
No,
they didn't shoot either.
I watched that guy right there you wrote down on that piece of paper, and the guy that now is out of here.
Listen.
Get out of the front of that net as fast as he could.
Was too afraid of getting
hit. Listen, Lance just said it. Mike Yeo's teams aren't known for having great playoff systems, and you saw it last
playoff
year,
or power play?
Power play.
Let's get it straight, coach.
Well, power play systems, and it didn't work last year, and it's the same guy this year. Like, it's the same guy running the ship this year. So they're going to have to – it's going to have to really – like, there's going to have to be an overhaul of the power play for it to work. Because, honestly, I don't care.
Don't you think they have to, though?
You can tell me all you want about seven standing in front of the net. It doesn't freaking matter if he doesn't shoot – if no one shoots.
Well, okay. So now I'm assuming, and yes, I am, that they're going to make changes. They have to. You can't go back in there with the same plan. Yeah, number one, you have better personnel, so you
didn't
have
you
to.
Just say historically he's got.
That's right.
He's not done well on the power play with any team. Talk to ex players. He's not great on the power play. And if you look at it, the only thing that concerns me about getting O'Reilly and Bozak, his system does not normally bode well for centermen. If you look back through the history, I'm not saying he's not going to make the changes. If he can make the necessary changes that he needs to, this team's going to be really good. If he is stuck in the past, they're going to have issues scoring. Now, when it comes to Maroon in front of the net, that can only help them. He's not going to move out of the front of the net like the gentleman we just recently mentioned. He's not going to do that.
Privately.
And when you got that guy in front of the net, like, you know, I disagree with
guys.
Coach. Yeah, when you got them in front of the net, I disagree with Coach. That makes guys want to shoot the puck more because somebody is in front of the net. When there's nobody in front of the net, you're back there carrying that puck going, the goalie's got a straight look at me. You know, why am I going to shoot? He's going to see the puck. When you've got people in front of the net, it makes you want to shoot the puck.
I will say this. If you look at it, you know, Nashville obviously has proven to be all that in a bag of chips, right? So I know we have to deal with that. Surprisingly, Monday, Kimby wasn't on the Winnipeg bandwagon like he has been in the past.
That was shocking.
Dallas.
He's been riding that horse for three
Dallas,
years.
Dallas, obviously, you know, you expect them to be a handful this year. But again, the expectations are high. I'm not. Listen, we can talk about the power play. We can talk about all these additions. We talked to. I mean, I know people were turning in Monday to get that confidence from Kimby about Jake Allen, and I don't know that they got it. But, you know, everybody's in his corner and everything, but I'm telling you, and I'll leave it at this today with this talk, this whole thing comes down to him.
Yeah, it does. It's a make it or break it year, and I've got two scenarios for the Blues. Oh. Let's say Jake Allen comes in, is a top two or three goaltender, has a goals against of 2.13, save percentage of 921. You're riding him high. You're
921.
Thinking,
wow. Yeah. That's
high. I'm thinking.
I'd take 911.
Hey, here's the thing. In the NHL, his highest has been 920. When he was with Chicago and the minors, it was 928. That's his best. But if he gets that, and I'm sorry, but Jake Allen fans are going to hate me, trade him. Because you can get a lot for him. If he stinks, this is his last year in St. Louis anyway.
Wow. It has
I think
to be.
Anyway, either way, he's great, he's done, he's bad, he's done.
I agree with everything he just said.
Yep. I agree
Although,
with everything
not
he just
the 921.
That'd be,
no,
that'd
no,
be a lot.
I said that would be awesome. I didn't say he was going to do it.
Okay. I'm 922.
There you go.
Well, I take anything over 9. To be quite frank.
So you expect them to win the division. Lance expects them to win the division.
He said the conference, I think.
I'm thinking the conference.
You think they're going to win?
Yeah, because President's Trophy.
Here's my thing. Who is Stastny going to pass to in Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is going to be a good team, but, you know, they were riding high last year off this over.
Who Stastny pass to here?
Nobody. Yeah, you know,
God.
And
it's not. Oh, come on.
And, you know, I think Nashville.
He had a guy to pass to, though.
But he didn't do it.
Nashville's a good team. Don't get me wrong. Winnipeg's an awesome team. But if everything goes right, their power play gets better. Jake, you know, starts to get that mental anguish out of his head that he has every year.
January.
That's the month of Jake, we need to be calling it, is the Blues are going to be contending for the Stanley Cup. If they don't, it's going to be way down. Well, they're going to be really good, or they're not going to be good at all.
Really?
Interestingly enough.
I think they're going to finish second in the division behind Winnipeg.
I could see that.
That's my expectation. That's not what I want.
No, that's not what I want either.
I mean, would that be the end of the world if they did that?
No. But
I know, I'm saying.
My expectation.
But you know what? It's going to be close.
Yeah.
It'll be close points, 5 points, well, something like that.
Well, the interesting thing is all the personnel changes, right? I mean, let's face it. There's this is an upgraded roster. Agreed? Across
mm-hmm.
the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean upgraded, not just here's a, you know, here's a new shiny G.I. Joe. This thing is this thing is upgraded.
Doug Armstrong came in and said, okay, I'm sick and tired of people saying I'm not doing nothing. Here's the players. Go out and do it, Mike Yo. Go out and do it, players. There's no more excuses.
I would say this is the second year in a row he's pulled off a trade. I don't think anybody thought he could pull off.
No, yeah.
To be quite honest.
Yeah.
When they were talking about getting Ryan O'Reilly at the very beginning, it was big names going the other way.
Sure it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Buffalo was asking for Thomas. They were asking for Kyrou, and they were asking for just a bunch of different combination of players, and you were thinking it wasn't going to get done.
Let me tell you something. You thought the trade last year for Shen was good.
Oh, this one was more of a steal.
Oh, this is.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, listen.
And we got rid of Jim's favorite two players.
I'm like watching a tennis match.
Listen, I didn't hate Saboka as much as everybody else.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I just
thought he was the most useless man on the
planet. I was shocked by the style of play coming back over. I didn't expect that. And Jamie and
Kimby became a different player. He wasn't as gritty. He was just out there and wasn't the
player.
He wasn't
gritty at all. You remember we talked about a particular instance where he just went to the bench during what was a scrum.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. I think
he just went and sat down.
Yeah, he just skated to the bench and sat down.
I sent a text to him and Jamie. Said,
what the hell's going on?
Checked out. Like, he's done.
Well, and the thing is, for me, and again, I look at it, I don't know how you don't look at this and go, okay, they're majorly, you brought it up, majorly upgraded up the middle. I brought it up at your event on the bench. I can't remember if it was Jamie I talked to. I think you were standing there too, but the truth of the matter is, of all the things that happened in the offseason, the one thing that we talked about last year that we were trying to figure out how the hell was going to happen, we sat here with the salary cap where it was, and the rumors were out there about Pat Maroon, and the whole thing was, how are you going to get Pat Maroon and sign Edmondson to an extension? Not only did Pat Maroon take a sweetheart deal for the St. Louis Blues.
About half of what he
said. So did Joel Edmondson.
Yeah, so did Edmondson.
So, you know, so what you got to believe there is there's money in a contract awaiting for Pat Maroon, as long as everything works out, and Joel Edmondson as soon as Bo Meester and Gunnarsson are gone.
Right.
So that's that money.
Who are the top four in the conference? At the end of the year, who's the top four? Since we're talking about expectations.
Well, the expectations on this end, and if you're saying second behind, I mean,
so who are they?
I'm going to go Blues.
Okay.
I'm going to go Winnipeg.
Okay.
I'm going to go San Jose.
Okay. No? Lance says no.
San Jose doesn't have enough scoring.
Okay.
But they don't have enough scoring.
Man, they're going to be good in the back.
Because in the Carlson trade, they lost their number 4 or 5 score. And they really don't have a lot of young guys that are that good. I could see them being good, but I think when it comes to playoffs, they're going to get a seed of a 6.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
well,
who you got, Lance?
I've got the Blues in Winnipeg, but I do agree with you. Winnipeg could be a few points ahead of them.
Yeah.
I've got Nashville, and then I've got the Golden Knights at 4th.
Golden Knights at 4th?
Yeah.
All right. I agree with everything except the Golden Knights. I
don't know why people don't think Neil leaving isn't a big deal.
I got a sleeper.
Oh, it is a big deal.
I got a sleeper.
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
Los Angeles.
No.
You're going to say Colorado.
No. Well, that's one sleeper.
They
1A.
Are one of my sleepers.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have 1 and 1A. I was going to say Colorado, but 1 and 1A.
Dallas?
Edmonton.
Oh, I think Edmonton will make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be a top 4 or 5 team, but.
Hey, they got the second best player in the world.
Tyratty?
Well, yeah.
Tyratty
in the news.
They got
folks. Tyratty in the news. There's
they got
Jordan
the second
Kyrie
best
yet.
Player in the world who will maybe be the best player in the world.
Yeah.
You want my opinion?
If they make a
you
run.
You want my opinion?
Yeah.
He is the best player in the world. He's
you
better than
can't
Sidney Crosby.
Say he's better than 87.
I'm going to tell you what. Sidney Crosby, people grade him based on his Stanley Cups. I keep hearing it time and time again. He's one of the greatest. It's just like in Super Bowls. I rate quarterbacks based on their stats, yards thrown, completion percentage, so on and so forth. Sidney Crosby, through his first 10 years in the league, couldn't hold the jock strap of Mario Lemieux. Mario Lemieux.
Well, you're comparing
was
him
so
to the best player to ever play the game.
Mario Lemieux wasn't the best player to play ever play.
Yes,
top five, yes, no.
Best player ever.
Wayne Gretzky was the best player ever.
If he played when Gretzky came in the league, Mario Lemieux would have had 300 points. If he would have played against goaltenders wearing catcher's equipment.
No.
Yes, he would have.
No.
He did. Yes, he would have.
He was a beast.
Yes, he would have.
And he played against goaltenders wearing catcher's
equipment. Yes, he did.
His seasons at the end were
unbelievable. All right, but those are mine. Those are mine.
Listen, I will say this about Connor McDavid. Again, I love Sidney Crosby. He has another gear.
He does.
You add that to the skill level that he has along with the gear.
Who, Sid?
No.
Or McDavid?
No, Connor McDavid.
When you see McDavid break out of his own end, all of a sudden he looks fast, and then he just kicks it in, you're like,
but I'm going to say that.
Well, first of all, he's the fastest kind of.
Yeah, but it's another, like, but I'll say this, though, that I'll disagree with you, Lance. I mean, just to be frank.
I'm not frank.
Don't call me Shirley. This is not 12U sports. You are absolutely 100% graded on winning.
Yeah.
So it does matter.
Oh, yeah, it does matter.
If you're the best – listen, why do you think Ovechkin's still drunk?
He is?
Yeah, he's still drunk. He started drinking as soon as the game was over.
Yeah, but they made him stop drinking out of the cup.
And he's still drunk.
But they made him stop drinking.
And you know why? Because he was the best player to ever not win a cup. So it didn't mean a whole shithole of beans if he went home and was a great player and didn't have a Stanley Cup. Hey, so you bet your ass it matters.
I love
stuff he says, shithole of beans.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I love Sidney Crosby. Don't get me wrong, Jim, but if I was to start a team, there's a lot of other players that have played through that history that I would start over Sidney.
Yeah, I'd start with 66.
Are you
the
crazy?
Biggest, strongest,
I'm not,
best player
We'll have
ever.
To talk about this at a
I would start Mario Lemieux over Sidney Crosby.
I just threw up.
Gretzky.
I just literally, well, okay.
Hall.
Brett
Hall.
Oh my God!
The best score I've ever seen.
Game issued jerseys in my basement right now, framed, hung up, and it's all Gretzky and Crosby. And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't take Brett Hall over either.
And
yeah,
prime,
but
and
I like
prime,
to watch
I
him.
I love to watch him.
You know why you love to watch him?
Like, I'm probably one of the biggest Brett Hall fans ever. You know why you love to watch him? Because he never was moving very fast. He was easy to watch.
Yeah, but man,
he was easy to watch. You didn't have to follow. It's not like watching McDavid go flying around. It's hard to keep.
Yeah, but
up.
You talk to Wayne Gretzky and ask Wayne Gretzky who had the best shot he ever seen, and I've heard him say in interviews, Brett Hall. And that means a lot to me when Wayne Gretzky says that.
So we touched on that last year. That's accuracy. And if you want to talk about
release,
you want to talk about the difference between 91 and 16. It's not necessarily the shot, it's the accuracy of the shot. Brett Hall didn't miss the net.
No, he didn't.
91 misses it like it's his job.
Sure he does.
So that
he should have been a Blue last year. So
yeah,
man. Well, interesting stuff. Hey, listen, good show, Lance. I got to tell you, real quick from you. You do, as we mentioned, the drop. Great show.
It is.
Tell our listeners, just give them a brief what you're trying to do there and where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Okay, basically, the Drop Podcast, we get a podcast after every Blues game, and then if there's any big topic of the week, we will have an extra podcast, any trades, you know, anybody not doing well, I'll end up having a podcast. You can find us at Twitter at Drop Hockey Show. I just changed the Twitter handle. You can find us at droppodcast.com, and also be looking over the next 3 or 4 days. I will be posting a special show where I interview an unnamed NHL Hall of Famer, and you've got to check into it to find out who it is.
Interesting stuff, my friend. Well, I can tell
you. Are you going to introduce him, or we got to hear his voice and then guess?
I'm going to introduce him when he comes on the show.
That was the question. So he's in. Like, he's in.
Okay.
Good.
You know what I mean? Like, he just starts talking to me.
Guys, I've got this NHL Hall of Famer. Take a guess. Whoever guesses it within the first 3 seconds,
text this.
Me.
I've got
you
this.
Get a free Blues jersey.
I got this NHL Hall of Famer tied up in my basement.
Almost,
put the lotion in the basket.
It almost took that. It almost took
well,
that.
Takes the lotion and rubs it on the skin.
Stop. That's just
that
crazy.
Was on the other night.
That's a terrible image in my mind.
Awful.
When he's dancing around.
Oh my God. Oh, Jim.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
No, they don't.
Great
no, they
movie.
Don't. They don't make movies
like
that.
An unbelievable movie.
Hey,
For all you young people out there, if you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs, you go watch it
all
right
young
now.
Young people,
all you young people,
you see all these little, you see all these little 7-year-old kids watching Barney.
Not those. Not
can
okay.
I go watch Silence
not,
of the Lambs?
Not
I'll
that
be up
young.
There at McKendree
16 Metro, and older.
Rackplex walking around, and they'll be like, "Hey, Coach Henson, we watched Silence of the Lambs."
I can't go back to my dorm room. Great. I'm scared.
A parents punching me.
All right, you have to be 14 or 15 or older.
Now he's making rules.
I don't know. What are these? PG-13.
There you go.
What is Silence of the Lambs? Was it rated R?
It was rated R when it came out.
All right, 18. If you're 18 or older, you need to watch Silence of the Lambs right now. Come Young on. Man in the Corner. Have you seen it? It's top notch, isn't it?
It's a good movie.
It's better than good.
It's
Let's
a,
be
it's,
real.
That's a real good movie. That's the biggest.
One of Jodie Foster's best roles.
That guy sitting over there is the biggest McDavid fan on the planet.
I could tell him light up when you gave him the Sidney Crosby
smile.
Stuff. Hindu, what's going on at McKendree?
We play tomorrow night, 7:30, McKendree Metro Recplex. Have Aquinas College coming in. They have moved up to D2 from the NAIA. So
tickets still available?
Tickets are barely still available at the door.
Barely.
Yeah, it's Friday night. So
Friday night fights.
You think about it, it's 3 miles from the college, so it'll be packed. We should have a really good student crowd, and we play them Friday and then Saturday matinee, and hopefully we come
back
out
to
of this
back.
2-0.
Nice.
It's going to be one of the biggest, probably one of the biggest tests of the season for us.
Well, you know, again, as we kind of go around the table, I'm going to bring in to the table via the celebrity line, and he's a celebrity in his own mind. Dennis Minner, as he comes to us, it's his first edition of Live from Minner Arena, which is, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Adam Smokehouse. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, guys, are open till 7 now. Adam Smokehouse, it's just not for lunch anymore. Get down there and have some great barbecue. Mike's been with us now. It's his second year joining the show. You hear him on Two Birds on a Bat. Get down there and try the barbecue. You will not be disappointed. I know we love it. We're gonna be doing a Facebook Live event down there here real soon with Kimby and Rivers, and we're going to invite Coach Henson and Lance down and go down there and really get some blue support behind Adam Smokehouse. Again, I look forward to hearing Dennis's thoughts this year, as I know all of you do. He can get quite passionate, as we all can. So
very much so.
Let's do it now, live from Minner Arena.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me back. This is Dennis Minner, live from Minner Arena. Can you believe these guys are letting me back a second year? The only thing I can tell is maybe Darren, Jim, and Jamie know about the photos I have of them or something. I don't know. But anyway, I am really, really stoked to be back again this year. Follow me on Twitter, at Minner Arena. And I am brought to you by the one, the only, Adam Smokehouse, who here on October 9th is going to be celebrating their fifth year in business as one of the best barbecue places here in St. Louis. And if you go and eat lunch or dinner or delivery, carry out anything, you are automatically entered into a raffle contest with some incredible, incredible prizes. And one of them is to have a watch party in Minner Arena with food brought to you by Mike Ireland at Adam Smokehouse. So really, really cool. Give them a check out on Twitter also. You know, here's the thing. Last season, everybody, I mean, as a full season ticket holder, as a insane Blues fan with an arena in his basement, everyone seems to ask me, what do you think? What do you think about the Blues? Last year, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't excited at all, and rightfully so. We started the year out good, and then it fizzled out horribly, and we didn't make the playoffs. And now, all of a sudden, Armstrong has gone from being the most hated GM in NHL to one of the most loved. And again, he has pulled off some just absolutely incredible, insane miracles and grabbed us just an amazing team. And you know what's neat is, no matter who you talk to right now about the Blues, whether it's an employee at the Enterprise, someone that works for the Blues, or fans like you and me, we all have this incredible, incredible optimism going into the season. And I know for some of us, that's scary. You know, a lot of us have been doing that for years and years just to be let down. But there is just something about the team this year that has just got so many of us excited. And you know, the biggest thing is we have four full lines of players and players to spare. you know, we've always been searching for those middlemen, just, you know, people to fill the spots. And guys, we have four unbelievable solid lines, and we've got depth like we've never had in years. You know, the good thing is we have no more possible drug lords on our team. Some of y'all will get that if you follow me or some of the other guys on Twitter. But look at this. I mean, we're looking at places for, you know, Kyrou, Thomas, Blay, you know, some of these guys, seeing if they're even going to be able to make the team right this year, because we have so much depth going in. And it's incredible. One of the hands-down guys I'm most excited about seeing, though, is Maroon. He has been one of my favorite players for years now. He is one of the only players, non-St. Louis Blues players, that I have a signed photo of in Minner Arena, and it's back when he was playing the Ducks. And just incredible to see him and to know that someone like that that can drop the mitt and just go toe-to-toe with anybody is also going to probably be playing on first line with Tarasenko. Now, what's so incredible at that is, he's going to be able to make the plays, but, you know, he's going to be the body out there protecting Tarasenko, and I think that's something we've really, really missed. You know, everyone was all Reeves, but, you know, Reeves was a fourth-line guy that would run out there. Maroon's someone that's going to actually be out there. He's going to be putting points up, and he's going to be out there helping Tarasenko. Fabry, I don't know. Go buy a hat. I don't know. It's nothing personal. I want him to be the all-star that we know he could be. But I don't know. I don't know how in the world with now a groin injury, how he can be ready for the beginning of the season, and will not be surprised if we see him go to the minors, AHL or something, to get a little bit of warm-up going. Last night we saw the Blues get pretty stopped by the Capitals, and everything broke loose. It was typical Twitter fashion last night, imploding, talking about Allen. Here's the fact. Allen does not have history on his side, okay? Let's just get that out there. But I am an Allen fan, and he's who we're going with, and I hope that his confidence level can stay high. I hope it can stay consistent, and I hope the guys out in front of him are putting some goals in the net, because that's the only way that he's going to keep that confidence going, is if we're scoring, you know, 3-4 goals a game, and we really, really need to see that happening. Hey, Live from Minner Arena is from a fan. That's all I am. I don't work for the Blues. I don't work for Jim or Jamie or Kimby. I'm just a fan, and I want to know what you guys want to talk about. And this year we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have several contests this year where I'm going to throw some contests for retweets and things like that out on my Twitter. And I'm going to give you guys a chance to actually be part of Live from Minner Arena. We'll be able to meet up at one of the home games, or you can meet up actually at Minner Arena when I record my segment, and you can actually be a part. So I need to know that you're interested in that. So go tweet me right now, at Minner Arena, and say you want to be part of Live from Minner Arena. We've got a contest going on right now from St. Louis Hockey Incorporated, a really cool clothing line. You can go on to my Twitter and see that we've got a contest going for one of their really cool shirts and hats. But don't forget, we are brought to you again, second year in a row, by Adam's Smokehouse. Please go check them out before their fifth birthday on October 9th and have a shot at winning some of those incredible, incredible prizes. So, guys, I am excited to be back and cannot wait to be talking to you this time every Thursday. And until then, let's go Blues.
Awesome. I like that guy.
You do?
Yeah, he can get it going, though.
Yeah.
He likes to go over the deep end a little bit sometimes.
He's not afraid.
Don't we all, though?
He pushes the envelope.
People say I go over the deep end.
He puts it out there. He puts it out there.
I'm always glad he's sponsored by food.
Hey, with him, too, I always wonder. It's like you go over there and you see his stuff.
I'm a fan of food, Lance.
Well, it's Lion's Choice or some donut joint.
Did you know last year?
Or beer. He can do beer.
There was a press conference, and Doug Armstrong talked about bloggers and podcasters. And he mentioned a quote that I quoted on my podcast.
Uh-oh.
When Steam is doing really bad. And he says, yeah, most of them I listen to. And he says, I listen to them just to get the feel of our fans. But he said, most of them are real angry people. He said, and one of them quoted something about Cena. I can't remember what I said. He had had about 7 or 8 bad games. And he quoted me, and I went to my wife. I said, I'm doing something right because Doug Armstrong just quoted me.
That's like getting retweeted.
Press conference. Yeah. He didn't mention the podcast. He just quoted and said I was an angry person.
Did you look angry?
Did you see the one early in the year where they pulled the quote from Kimball off ours on one of the Blues ones?
Yeah.
I was like, let me tell you something too, boy. I can't believe I forgot to bring that up Monday because he wants to let Rivers know all about it. I forgot. I'll have to remember.
Oh, I bet he does.
Monday.
And
did
I bet
you
he does.
Just say that Steen was having 7 or 8 bad games?
That's in a row, and then he'd have one good and then another 9 bad.
Yeah, but see, the difference.
But
here's why
coach,
you didn't.
Coach, he's a leader on the ice.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, he leads everybody into doing bad stuff.
Man.
Wow.
The worst 5.7.
You're lucky Jamie hung up.
The worst 5.7 $5 million contract the Blues have ever signed.
You're lucky Jamie hung up.
Hey, he's good at $4 million. He's not good at almost $6 million.
Well, now, according to Jamie, we're not supposed to look at the contract and base their skill level on that contract.
No, I based on production for a contract and what you pay, not skill level.
I got you.
Well, hey, guys, great show.
Great.
Enjoyed it. Lance, good luck to the drop this year.
Thank you.
Come back in sometime. If you ever need anything from Blues NHL Podcast, please let me know. Hindu, I know you're rocking and rolling over at McKendree. Good luck to you boys as well.
Thank you.
One last time, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your Amazon shopping. We'd greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. That's at STL Blues Podcast. Our big push this year is Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends, invite all your friends that are Blues fans to like it as well. We release the show on Mondays and Thursdays, typically late afternoon. It's definitely out by the evening. Get involved in our post this year. We'll try to ask a tough question. We're looking for your comments, likes, more importantly, your shares. We've got some interns around here, and what they're doing, they're keeping track of who likes the post, who comments, who shares. We're putting those people in some drawings for some awesome prizes. You never know who it'll be. You never know what it'll be, but I know you guys are going to enjoy it. Again, Facebook is where we're trying to make some hay this year, so we would appreciate your support there as well. Find us on Instagram as well, STL Blues Podcast. And again, we are proud to be part of lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet and home to Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device. It's a wonderful streaming platform. We know you will enjoy it. Leave them a review. They deserve it. They've worked really hard. To all of our partners, Innovative Companies, Randy Green, my man. Don't forget, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He is the man, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. We've got the plumbing team now ready to rock and roll and help you out with all your needs. Heating and cooling, the electric team, and of course, the construction team. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. You heard me mention Adam's Smokehouse. Get over there and have some barbecue today. I think I might have to make the trek this afternoon for some ribs. You can never go wrong with ribs at Adam's Smokehouse. Always good, always wonderful. Nelson Land Services, NelsonLandServices.com. The wonderful Nelson family involved in the amateur hockey community in St. Louis. And in the collegiate community in St. Louis as well, as Gary's pumping his fist because he has a Nelson boy at McKendree. Great kid, great family. They will take care of you. NelsonLandServices.com. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.